Well, folks, welcome to another great old Mighty Tom's Bible study. What are we doing today? Well, we're obviously studying the Bible. Today, we're going to look a little bit, we're going to get back, I don't know if on track is quite the right word, but we're going to look at something we looked at a little bit more at the beginning here, but we're going to look at John, the book of John, and we're going to start in John 6:30 here for this podcast. So open your Bibles to John, chapter 6, verse 30. They said therefore unto him, What sign shewest thou then, that we may see and believe thee? What dost thou work? So now let's remember what's happened here previously. In the first, 20 or so verses, Jesus went to the sea, went over the Sea of Galilee, and the multitude followed him, and then he fed them with 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. And then he left by night, and he went across the sea toward Capernaum, and then all of that stuff. And then the next day the people followed him, and so they're now wondering what's going on, and he's told them. They said, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? You know, now they're probably thinking, miracles and stuff and wanting power. And Jesus is saying, this is the work of God, that ye may believe, this is verse 29, that ye may believe on him who he hath sent. So he's saying, believe on me. And so the people are asking him, well, how do we know that you're really the one that God sent? Which is sort of what does thou work? What a goofy question to ask this guy who has just fed the multitude nearly just a night before. What a goofy question. Verse 31. Our fathers did eat manna in the desert, as it is written. He gave them bread from heaven to eat. So again, it's the people talking. They're talking to Jesus, and he's saying, they're saying that our fathers did eat manna, this bread. And so where is the bread that you fed us? Which is even more ridiculous given the events, the day before, literally. Jesus fed them by sitting them down and fed them these small loaves. But it's interesting to think of this idea, that they're really into this temporal power. They're into getting something for nothing in a worldly sort of way. And Jesus is giving them something for, nothing, at least not at their expense, certainly at his expense. He's giving them something for nothing based on their, in a spiritual sense, in the spiritual world. Verse 32. Then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Okay, so 6:32. He's saying, Verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread. It wasn't Moses who gave you that bread. Which is interesting because, they're so into the law and the prophets. This seems to indicate here that they were thinking that it was, somehow that Moses had given them the bread. And, they had sort of lost God in that mix. But he says, But my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. So he's pointing to the spiritual, giving them something in the eternal, in the eternal realm, in the spiritual realm, and they don't quite grasp it. 6:33, For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. So here we have in verse 33, For the bread of God is heaven which he was coming down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. So he's saying here, that for the bread of God, which has come down for the head of the life, giveth the life of the world, he's pointing to himself, basically. He's going, I am the bread, for it, the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth unto the world. Let's see, John 6:34. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. So they want some of this bread. They want some of the bread, although they're completely missing the whole idea of looking at this from the eternal side, if you please. They want the bread. They want the temporal power. They've seen that in the last 20 or so verses, calming a storm, feeding the 5,000. They want some of that bread. They want the power to do works, but they don't realize where, you know, they want it for their own ends and not for the glory of God. 6:35, and Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I said unto you that ye also have seen me and believe not. So he's laying it right out there for them. He's saying, I am the bread of life. That bread that we were talking about, you want some of that bread? I am the bread. Me. But then he goes right on in the next verse, verse 36, and says that you have seen me, but you don't believe, even though I've done all these miracles, you know. I've done all these things. I fed all you guys from 5 loaves of bread. 6:37. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. So what's going on here is he's saying that the Father sends people to him, and this gets into, you know, this is interesting. If you aren't, there are people that use this verse to sort of like point to Calvinism a little bit, but I think it's important to keep in mind that even if God really kind of does everything, free will is vital to the nature of loving God. So you have to have this free will to be able to love God. So at the very least, the Father may be sending, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. So the Father may be sending them to him, but on the other hand, you know, you still have to have this free will thing. You know, that's sort of a necessary component in all this, which is often overlooked by a lot of people. 6:38, for I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. Now it's one of the things that's so interesting about Jesus is that, there's several people in the Bible, really. You've got Caleb, well, Jesus, of course, Caleb, and Joshua, and David. What do all those people have in common? Okay, time's up. They all followed the Lord wholly. And I don't mean wholly like H-O-L-Y. I mean W-H-O-L-L-Y. They followed him wholly, like with all of their being. And, you know, in Jesus' case, he's coming just to do what the Father sent him to do. And, you know, perhaps in the analogy of like, you know, I often wonder, in his human nature, he's obviously had God's authority and all of that, God's power and was God and all that stuff. But I often wonder, you know, did he burn with lust sometimes, or what was his human nature like? You know, it's very tied in with all this stuff. But the point of this verse is he actually came down from heaven not to do his own will. And that's the essential difference between him and this crowd of people he's talking to. He's not doing his own will. He's doing the will of him that sent me. He's doing the will of God the Father. 6:39, and this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that all which he hath given me I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. So he wants to save. This clearly sort of indicates that he wants to wants to gain it all. He wants to bring all the people back. Now, were it not for free will, our own free will, you know, that would very likely happen. But, you know, we have the freedom to reject. Fortunately, we have the freedom to reject God. I would, you know, sometimes I wish, sometimes I wonder if anybody would ever take, you know, like a church up where they would come forward and just be right out and just say, like, I don't believe Jesus is the Son of God. And then at least, you know, I don't know. Then at least you could sort of respect those people instead of sort of, you know, them not really realizing that they're making this free will choice. I don't know. Perhaps I should edit that out. No, we'll let it stay. 640. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. So he's just pointing, like, you know, he's pointing to himself and telling him what the will of God is. But he's also tying it. He's trying to, you know, he's pointing again to this eternal aspect to it, you know. I mean, he's just like pointing his finger, both in the idea of, here he says, they may have an everlasting life, and then saying, and I will raise him up at the last day. So this didn't go over big with the Jews, as we'll see here in the next verse, 641. The Jews then murmured at him because he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. So they're thinking, like, he is manna? He is the, what? This doesn't make any sense. He is, what? What? That's sort of weird to the Jewish mindset. They don't get it. And then 642, and they said, is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he saith, I came down from heaven? So they're seeing God through the temporal lens, but you know, he's trying to get him to look through the eternal lens, you know. They're seeing him as the son of Joseph, and they don't get it. What else? There's probably more there I can say, but that's all encompassing right there. 643. Jesus therefore answered and said unto him, Murmur not among yourselves. So he hears what they're saying, and he's like, no, just relax. 644, no man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. So he's clearly, this is a very interesting verse. You know, so often you find, we talk about coming to Jesus. I mean, it's well-meaning, but it's in the sense that we came forward and went forward to talk to God, and it was somehow it was about us. And this verse clearly sort of lays it out. No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me to draw him. So, I mean, If you're not saved and you're listening to this and you just kind of wondered what's going on, be assured that the Father is working on you, that the Holy Spirit is whispering in your ear and trying to bring you to, bring you to salvation. You know, it bears in mind that, you know, along with this, Jesus will raise them up at the last day. 645. It is written in the prophets, and they shall be taught of God. Every man, therefore, that hath heard and that hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. So he's quoting Isaiah there. Isaiah 54, I think, 13. All the children shall be taught by the Lord, and great shall be the peace of your children. Verse 14, in righteousness you shall be established. You shall be far from oppression, for you shall not fear, and from terror, for it shall not come near you. It's interesting here in verse in Isaiah 53. They talk about here Isaiah 53. You know, that's kind of what they call the Holy of Holies of the Old Testament. They talk about the sin-bearing servant who has believed our report, and who has the arm, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant is a root out of dry ground. And so, after talking about Jesus there and all this stuff in verse 54, they talk about, you know, being taught by the Lord, and the peace of the children and everything shall be great and all that stuff. So it's interesting to see that, especially here in light of this fact of all of these Jewish people here that are questioning Jesus don't want to have anything to do with peace. They're all about, they want like temporal rewards. Verse 46, not that any man hath seen the Father, save he which is of God, he hath seen the Father. Verse 47, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. Verse 48, I am that bread of life. Verse 49, your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. Verse 50, this is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. Verse 51, I am the bread, living bread, which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give him, that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the Lord. Life of the world, rather. I'm sorry. So there's a whole lot of things there. Verse 47, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. So he's untying the temporal aspects of it and tying everlasting life to belief on him. Verse 47, he's talking about being this bread of life, being this everlasting bread. And he's contrasting it in 49 and 50, saying, your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. So you got this, you got the temporal food from God, and you ended up dying. But if you believe on this, you will not die. And then he ties it all together there in 51. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. So understandably, the Jews there, they don't get this whole idea. So in 52 they say, verse 52, the Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? So they don't understand what's going on. The word strove there, it's, you know, delineating, you know, much argument and much sort of going on there. The actual Greek word that there is makiome, and it's the middle voice of an apparently primary verb meaning to war. Obviously, this used here in this sense figuratively, or to quarrel and dispute. So they're like, they're all riled up about this. You know, they're fighting each other about it. Verse 53, then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Strong words. So this, you know, it's interesting. One of the things that I read this is that I think sometimes we tend to take, we hyper-literalize Scripture. You know, certainly we can say that about Catholic teaching here, where they take and they talk about the blood of Jesus, you know, the body of Jesus literally, you know, becoming the wafer once you put it in your mouth miraculously. Hocus corpus, something like that. You know, it's like magical. And then drinking his blood, totally occultic, really, to be completely honest. It's interesting to think that we, you know, it's like, it's really easy to hyper-literalize some of these things that Jesus said. You know, all of it is true, but it is true in the spiritual sense, and we have to keep that, keep that frame of reference in mind and not take Bible verses out of, you know, just randomly take some out, some verses out. It's context that proves these things. And that's something that I've actually really been sort of learning here more concretely in my own personal Bible study devotional times. Verse 54, "Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day." So he's saying somebody who, you know, eats and drinks and partakes of me in the spirit will have eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. You know, so we have, you know, the whole idea, we have Jesus living inside us and all this stuff, and he's sort of foreshadowing the communion, you know. Verse 55, "For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed." So he's, you know, again, tying this all to the spiritual eternal sense, you know. I don't think you can rightly understand what he's saying now without sort of having a good grasp on what he said earlier. You know, this whole idea, this is eternal talk. This isn't temporal stuff. Verse 56, "He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him." So this whole idea that, you know, God is dwelling in us, you know, Jesus is dwelling in us, you know, verse 56 is pretty clear about that. "He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him." Taken in the correct context, of course, of this spiritual, eternal sense. Verse 57, "As the living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me." You know, so sort of almost really foreshadowing this whole idea of death here, you know, the spiritual death, where the old man dies and the new man comes to life, you know. I was just noticing in the gym today, man, maybe I'm reading too much into this, but some people, I can almost sense that they, like, you know, everybody needs Jesus, but some people, like, really need Jesus. You know, you just can see it on their face. You can see the death in their faces in some cases. It's really weird. But as Christians, you know, you live as the Father sends you, and you live by the Father. So you do his will and all this stuff. And, if you believe on Jesus, you know, he is our propitiation and all that. Verse 58, "This is that bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever." So the whole idea, you know, this isn't manna. This is the bread that makes you live forever, live in the eternal life of the spirit world. And this is interesting because in a Jewish mindset, they would have thought, this wouldn't have, you know, one of the things that they tend to think of, things that are, you know, they would define as godly, is the central characteristic would be divinity. So this would be like really, really uncomfortable for them. So anyway, let's end right there for this week. And that's all I have to say. All right, folks, I hope you had a good time listening. I sure had a good time talking about all this stuff. I really enjoy John, the Gospel of John. They say it's deep enough that an elephant could submerge itself in, yet a child can splash in it. So it's good. I hope you're doing well, folks. God bless. Continue to pray for the saints. Bye-bye.